reading this morning can be found on page 902 on the Pew Bibles. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Hear the word of God. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Hear our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Those first disciples of the Lord Jesus, they must have eaten together with him any number of times, more times than they could remember or count. On hillsides and by lake shores, sometimes in homes, sometimes at weddings or at parties. At first, we can imagine gathering in the upper room, eating together once again with Jesus. It would probably have seemed like just another night, just another meal. When do you think they realized that it wasn't just another meal, that this was a different night, a climactic night, something unlike any other time with Jesus? Perhaps when Jesus took up towel and basin and washed their feet. Perhaps when at table he spoke about his betrayal. Perhaps when he taught about himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. Whenever it was, the realization dawned upon them that this night in this upper room was a different night, unlike any other night, a night to remember. But let's think for a moment about Jesus. Jesus who had prepared this night. He always knew it was a special night. He'd made all the arrangements to have the room ready, to have the meal prepared, so that he could share together with his disciples. When you're preparing such a special evening, do you think you prepare what you're going to say? I think you probably do. What do you think you might prepare to talk about when you're in the upper room? Jesus knows, even if his disciples don't know yet, that this is the last meal he will share with them. In just a few hours, he will be betrayed and arrested and crucified. This is his last chance to speak with them, to encourage them, to teach his disciples. What do you plan to speak about when you know it's the last chance you have? It is on this night, when this hour has come, in this upper room, that the Lord Jesus speaks most clearly and powerfully about God the Holy Spirit. Four times he speaks about the Holy Spirit as a helper. In chapter 14, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, someone to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Twice in chapter 14 and then in 15 and 16, the same thing. The Holy Spirit will help you. He also spoke of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. It is precisely because Jesus knows that the time has come. Precisely because Jesus knows that he is leaving his disciples. It is precisely for that reason at this time that he speaks to his disciples and teaches them of the Holy Spirit, a promised helper, a coming Spirit of truth. Now that the Lord Jesus is returning to his Father, he speaks of the one who will come from the Father, the one who will be sent to be the presence of God in the lives of his disciples. He promises that the Holy Spirit will come to all of his disciples. So has the Holy Spirit come to you? Giving and receiving gifts is one of the great joys of life. Have you ever been given or received a gift which was deliberately harmful to you, which someone gave you knowing that it would be a bad thing to give you and that it would cause you harm? Have you ever received a gift like that? Now, you might have received a gift you don't want. We've all received gifts we don't like. A garish multicolored jacket, a large floppy hat, a DVD box set of your husband's football team. That's not what I'm talking about. That's just a thoughtless gift. Not the DVD set, but the other one. What I'm asking is, has anyone actually ever given you a gift that is harmful for you, that is bad for you? How can you imagine that God your Father, Jesus your Good Shepherd, who loves you and cares for you, would give you anything but the best, a gift that is positively good for you? Listen to what the Lord Jesus says about who it is who gives you the Holy Spirit. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send." God the Father, who knows you and loves you, who will never give any bad thing to you, he is the one who gives you this gift, who sends you as a comforter, his own Holy Spirit. Can you believe for a moment that God would give you something harmful? Jesus also says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." God the Son, Jesus, your Savior and your friend, who knows you and loves you and cares for you, who, rather than give any bad thing to you, would give his own life, his own body to be broken on the cross, to save you from all harm. He is the one who gives you a gift, who will send you a comforter, his own Holy Spirit. Can you imagine this Jesus giving you anything bad? The Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father and the Son to all the disciples of Jesus. All of us are Holy Spirit people. All of us are receivers of this helper, this one who comes from the Father and the Son. This is true not of some Christians, but of all Christians. We are all Holy Spirit Christians because there are no followers of Jesus who have not received this gift of the upper room. From the upper room, the Lord Jesus promises you and every one of you that he will send, and his Father together with him will send, the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus thought this good news so important that in the upper room, at this last meal, at this last time together, five times he spoke about the Holy Spirit. He promised that the Spirit would come to you. So, has the Holy Spirit come to you? How would you know if the Holy Spirit has come to you? Well, in our reading today, that short passage from John 16, the Lord Jesus tells us three works of the Holy Spirit, three ways in which we might recognize the Spirit of God at work among us. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, into all the truth. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to you, will guide you into all the truth. Now, this is not a promise for lawyers and judges, that they will know the truth about any and every case which comes before them. Jesus is not saying that his disciples will know all the truth about everything and will never be deceived by clever advertising or a scam merchant. Would that that were true. Jesus is saying something slightly different. In the upper room, the Lord Jesus speaks the word truth six times. Three times he describes the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. In 14:6, the Lord Jesus identifies himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In 16:7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The words which Jesus speaks to us are the truth. All the truth into which the Spirit of truth will guide the disciples of Jesus is the truth about Jesus. The truth which Jesus has spoken. Listen to what Jesus says near the end of chapter 14. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into knowing the truth of Jesus. He brings the words that Jesus said to our memory so that we might know the truth about Jesus. This is exactly achieving the purpose for which John wrote his gospel. Remember we said this earlier in the year, chapter 20 and verse 31, the purpose of John's gospel, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, and by believing may have life in his name. The purpose for which this gospel is written is that you might believe that Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus speaking to us from this upper room, is both Christ and Son of God. That's the truth the Holy Spirit will guide you into. Christ means king. Jesus is the king in God's kingdom. At his trial in just a few hours, Pilate will ask Jesus, so are you a king? And the Lord Jesus will reply, you say I am a king, for this purpose I was born and have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Jesus stands before the representative of Caesar, the supreme and absolute power in the known world of the day, and declares the truth. Caesar is not king, Jesus is. Jesus is king. God has launched his kingdom in opposition to all the kingdoms of the world. And in Jesus, God invites you, calls you, and welcomes you into his kingdom. To live from today as a citizen of God's kingdom. To live a different kind of life. Because you're living with Jesus as king. This is the truth which the Holy Spirit will guide you into. Jesus is your king, and you have been set free to live in his kingdom. Also, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. From the beginning of John's gospel, we've read and known that the Word was God, that the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us, that this Word which was and is God is Jesus. Jesus is the one who was before Abraham, whose glory was seen by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus is God. Now, the only way anyone comes to know this and believe this is by the work of the Holy Spirit in them. You cannot work this out by yourself. You cannot make yourself believe this truth that Jesus is God. Only the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you into this truth. Do you know Jesus as King? Do you know Jesus as God? Then the Holy Spirit has already come to you. He is already at work in you, blessing your life with the knowledge of the truth about Jesus. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Sometimes people say to me that they think they would like to know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month. I'm quite pleased that I don't know what's to come this afternoon, never mind tomorrow or next week. But of course, that's not what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. He isn't promising that the Holy Spirit will teach us what's going to happen tomorrow. Just a few pages after our reading this morning, we come to the end of John's Gospel. The next book in the Bible is, usually in our English versions, called the Acts of the Apostles. Some scholars have suggested that this book would be better called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. In a famous book called The Descent of the Dove, an author, Charles Williams, wrote a history of the church. But he wrote it from the perspective of a history of the Holy Spirit, identifying the life and work of the Holy Spirit in all the work of the church. The things that are to come, the things which are declared by the Holy Spirit, is the life of the church. The life of the people of God lived in service of Jesus. Those are the things that he declares to us. At the end of chapter 15, the Lord Jesus spoke of the life of the church in terms of persecution. There has never been a day when the church somewhere has not suffered persecution. As the Lord Jesus said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. Today, the attempt is being made to eradicate the church in Syria, Iran, Indonesia, many places in North Africa. This is part of the things to come, which the Holy Spirit makes known to us. The Lord Jesus spoke in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, every place in the upper room where he spoke of the work of the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, loving one another, loving others, loving those who persecute, loving those who hate, acts of kindness and compassion. This is what the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into. These are the things that are to come. The disciples of Jesus have work to do. We have hands which we are to use to help others, minds which we have to use to think kindness and goodness. And how can we make that a reality in our lives? The things that are to come is the life of the church. Jesus said, love one another. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into that. Loving one another. The Holy Spirit alone can declare these things to us. If I or any other human person were to stand up and say, look, don't worry if we're persecuted, if we're hated, if the attempt is made to destroy us, we'll just be kind and gentle to others. You would be right to ignore me. But this is the constant word of Christ. This is the way Jesus' disciples are to live. With our outstretched hands, and if they nail us to a bit of wood, well, they did that to him also. The Holy Spirit, who is God, declares to us, this is the life of his kingdom. This is what we have set ourselves to as disciples of Jesus, is being kind to folks, being helpful and caring, having the fruit of the Spirit blossom and grow in our lives in such a way that everyone will recognize the kingdom of God is among us because the Holy Spirit has been given to us and he is at work. He is at work growing these things in us. One more thing. The Lord Jesus said, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. He will glorify me. This is the principal work of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus glorious to us. In what shall we see the glory of the Lord Jesus? I wonder if you remember a few weeks ago, we were reading in John chapter 12 about some Greeks who came to Philip and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip goes to Jesus and says, we've got some Greeks here. And Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He wasn't talking about people coming to see him. This hour, the long-awaited hour, the hour which is now, the hour which is this upper room, this is the hour when the Lord Jesus will be lifted up before all people. It is the hour of glory when the Lord Jesus is enthroned upon the cross. That is the glory of Jesus, that he gave himself for others. This is the glory of Christ, the wondrous cross, the cross from which Jesus, who is King, who is God, cries in a loud voice, it is finished. That is his glory. Everything that was needed to be done to bring God's kingdom, to welcome men and women into God's kingdom, to renew and recreate all things, and to catch us up with it in the forgiveness of our sins has been done. This is his glory. The glory of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to, is the glory of his dying love. Do you not find it glorious that Jesus loves you enough to die for you? Do you not find it glorious that Jesus was willing to hang and to suffer for you and your salvation? Is it not the most glorious thing you can imagine, that Jesus would rise in triumph from the grave for you? Is it not wonderful that the victory of God would be achieved in the glorious resurrection of your King? The glory of Jesus is in the cross and the resurrection and is seen today in his reigning in your lives. As you depend upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, as you live the resurrection life today, being a citizen of God's kingdom, Jesus is glorified. As the Holy Spirit works faith in Jesus in your life, your faith gives glory to Jesus. Just one example. You know, every time we say a prayer, every single time, what we're saying is we depend upon Jesus, who is our King. And right there, right then, he is glorified by the work of the Holy Spirit in us every time we pray. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of the disciples of Jesus, acts of love and kindness and joy and peace and patience, acts of faith and prayer, lives of forgiveness and renewal. And Jesus is glorified. Jesus is made glorious in and through us by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's time for us to believe what we say we believed. We believe that Jesus is our King. We believe that Jesus has died for us and risen again before us and calls us to live in his kingdom. These are the things we believe. We believe them because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. It's time we believed what we said we believed. We have the Holy Spirit given to us. It's time that we lived as though what we believed were true. Let's pray together. Father, we are amazed and overwhelmed at the generous gift of your love, that you would give your Holy Spirit to us to make Jesus glorious among us, to make Jesus known to us, to make us into the disciples of Jesus who live in his kingdom. We pray that we would not grieve your Spirit, that we would fan the flames of your Spirit's fire within us, that we would be Holy Spirit disciples of Jesus, living Holy Spirit lives for the glory of Christ. So be at work among us for this. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.